Say hello to Ken Korak.
Give it up for Big Ken.
Have a seat here, Captain. All right.
Captain Korak, doing good.
Have a seat. Yeah, we're going to get you on
good
here.
Good to see you, Ken.
It's a tough act to follow yesterday of Ray Fossey, but we're going to get you on here today. One of the great broadcasters of baseball throughout the country and, of course, back here this weekend with the A's here. But I'm going to answer. Put the headset on. We'll throw the question to you as well.
Right.
Pat says the more outstanding feat from yesterday, Cole Hamels,
right,
the no-hitter, or A-Rod, the three home runs.
And they were bombs, A-bomb from A-Rod.
I'm going to say this. Cole Hamels, I would expect to pitch a no-hitter at some point.
Okay.
He's got that kind of stuff. I never thought A-Rod would have three home runs in a game again. I still don't understand.
Maybe you wouldn't think he would have had three all season.
Yeah.
Remember, I mean, the questions about him during spring training. I think the Yankees would have taken anything from him this year.
Yeah.
I mean, they were questioning whether he could even play at all.
Yeah.
If he'd just play against lefties or if he might not even be a factor if he would make the team. But what Hamels did, when you consider the context of the trading deadline coming up, and I saw the game that he pitched here against the Giants on TV. He wasn't that impressive at all.
Come on, he's gone in the third inning.
Yeah, nine earnings, I think. Yeah.
Now, yesterday he's throwing 94 miles an hour. It was incredible stuff. Yeah. And so there was maybe the backdrop of drama when you think about what Hamels did. And the Phillies front office says the pitch count is mounting toward 129 pitches, which is nothing, really.
Yeah.
I mean, if I'm a team thinking about trading for him, I would have thought that's great that he threw 129 pitches because he looked phenomenal. Yeah. If he was hurt at all, he couldn't have done that. To me, I mean, that was pretty remarkable what he did. And the way it ended.
Nuts.
Nutty with the play in center field.
Well, I mean, what about the play in center field? What about the play in center field? This guy fell down twice.
Odubel Herrera.
Right. Earlier and then in the last play, he takes a swan dive after catching it.
Right, and if he hadn't caught it, you're the official scorer.
It's a hit.
It's got to be a hit.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
You know, if he's got a dive and all that, it's got to be a hit. You can't call it an error.
Yeah.
You know, once he leaves his feet.
So that'll be one of the more memorable last outs of a no-hitter or a perfect game. And then when you consider it had been 50 years since the Cubs had been no-hit.
Remember who did that 50 years ago?
I listened to every pitch of that perfect game in 65. September of 65.
It was in the City of Angels, was it not?
Yes, it was.
Come on, you give us a little bit. Come on.
No, I'll let Mr. Miller handle the Scully impressions on this side
of
the
bay. He does it pretty well. But that was the last no-hitter against the Cubs was Koufax's perfect game. So, all right, where do you go? Well, what was the most outstanding? Was it Hamels or?
For me, it was Alex Rodriguez. And I hate to say this, gentlemen, but coming into the season, much like most of America, I can't stand Alex Rodriguez. But as the season wears on, 22 homers, almost 60 RBI, I'm kind of getting into his camp, Comeback Player of the Year award. There's a certain empathy to his sad story. I'm kind of falling into the A-Rod scene.
I'm going with the no-hitter.
Are you?
Okay. I'm going with Hamels.
All right.
Okay.
All right.
How about you, Marty?
I'm A-Rod. Okay. I mean, he's got 677 home runs, and all of a sudden I'm saying he's going to get to, not this year,
no.
I don't think, but he's going to get to 700. He's already got his 3,000 hits. And I assume they must test him every minute. I mean, he must never go away without getting
his own team hates him. His own ownership can't stand his face.
Not anymore.
Well, they're liking him now.
Not anymore, pal, because that's going to be a playoff team.
You're right.
They're going to win in the American League East.
The American League is really muddled. It's really mediocre this year. There aren't that many good teams. Although Kansas City, I guess they got Johnny Cueto today,
We broke that story this morning. Ron Wotus.
Yeah.
From Ben Stein. Ben Stein, before I got there, said to Ron Wotus, Cueto is now a member of the Royals. I walked in and Wotus says, Cueto's a member of the Royals. I said, get on the air and say it. And we started the show with Ron Wotus breaking that news.
Great.
Well, so you're well connected with the Royals front office, Marty.
Thank you very much. No, apparently Ben Stein. Ben Stein broke it. Ben Stein did. All right.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about Kendall Graveman, who we'll see today. Glad to have you out here doing the game. And against a guy you've seen many times, and I'll just give you the little preamble with Tim Hudson. It's kind of a big game for him to see where he stands in this rotation. We get close to the deadline next week. He may be the weak link in this thing at 40 years old. He knows how to get on a mound. It's his 474th Major League start. You saw his first appearance against the Padres.
He had a phenomenal game against the Padres.
This is a good one for you to give us the preview.
He struck out like 11 in five innings in San Diego, interleague game, obviously. And back then he could really hit because he played center field at Auburn. And I think he got a base hit in his first Major League game as well. I don't think he's quite the hitter now that he was back then, but he was one of the great competitors. I mean, to me, with Tim Hudson in those great days with the A's when they won four straight divisional titles beginning in 2000, of course, you had the big three. This guy was a big game pitcher, and he left it all out there. I mean, he could really compete. And fun guy. He was involved in the community, you know, Tim and his wife. And I remember he hosted a couple of golf tournaments to raise money for charity. So
Make-A-Wish was his.
Yeah, I think it was one of the similar type things.
Yeah, no, I helped with them. I helped them with that.
Right. But Graveman is a sinker ball pitcher. He's one of the cadre of players the A's got back from Toronto in the Josh Donaldson deal. He began last year in single-A ball, kind of a meteoric rise. He went from single-A and then finished up the season in the big leagues with the Blue Jays. Pretty decorated collegiate career at Mississippi State. Okay. And sinker ball pitcher is with the team early in the year, and then they sent him down to the minor leagues, and he had good numbers down there. And I think it reinforced to him that even though his fastball can get up around 93, Marty and Pecan, that he's really more of a guy that has to keep the ball down in the zone. And when he gets a lot of ground balls, he can be effective. Now, he started against the Blue Jays in his first start after the All-Star break. And who knows whether there's a, you know, an intangible factor there pitching against your former team. And maybe you try to do too much and impress too much, and that's happened before. But he allowed three home runs in the game. And actually pitched pretty well for the first five innings. Then in the last inning he worked. He allowed two home runs. The two home runs bookended two walks. So home run, two walks. Then Russell Martin hit a three-run home run, and that knocked him out of the game.
All right. Last two games. Ken Korak with us, the voice of the A's. And we love hearing the voice, and glad to see you here today. One of the best in the business. 11 innings, 13 hits, 10 runs for him. The three homers you alluded to, six walks, 10 strikeouts. That's the last two.
Right. Before that, he pitched
to
very
that,
well.
Outstanding. Six of his 10 starts, at least seven innings pitched.
Nice.
How about that? That's pretty impressive for a young pitcher like that.
You know, the A's have pitched this year. Their starting rotation's been fine, although now they traded Kazmir and Jesse Hans on the DL, so they're piecing it together a little bit more. But I thought Chris Bassitt threw a good ball game yesterday. But you know, one of the things when you face the Giants is that Bumgarner gives you nine hitters. Right? I mean, if you're facing, and he's pitching, he gives, what is it, Bruce Jenkins said that he broached the subject of if the when the Giants have to use the DH.
They're in Texas next weekend. Why not DH Bumgarner?
You know, it's not that far-fetched.
Would that bruise the ego of a major leaguer, a position player? Is that why Bochy wouldn't do that?
It would bruise the ego. Yeah, you bet.
Yeah.
If you're a right-handed hitter and you're not in there because a pitcher is hitting.
Well, Bumgarner has the fifth-best slugging percentage on the team.
No, he's a legitimate hitter.
Yeah.
And Bassitt, actually, after the game, said that was my mistake.
Yeah.
I should have approached him like a hitter instead of a pitcher, but no, he can hit.
Take a drink. That's a Marty Leary drinking game.
Yeah, it is.
You say he can hit, you get a drink.
Really?
That's correct.
Is that your baseball memory?
That's one of the... We did a bingo game out here with the Marty Leary sayings, and that was one of them. He can
hit. I don't see your bobblehead anywhere.
Oh, I left it in the bunker. I'm sorry. I'll send Ben Stein back to get it for you. I did bring one for you today.
You signed one for Ray Fosse yesterday.
Yes, I did. Ray was terrific yesterday.
He was on fire. I told him this morning that he was on fire.
He's great, man. He was great.
Hey, Pat, I'll say it to you and to Ken. It is Hall of Fame Sunday. Mm-hmm. Eddie Montague is going to come by. And, you know, there aren't many umpires in the Hall of Fame. Maybe half eight umpires in the whole year. Bill King was here. Bill, I'm talking about umpires, so don't get mad. But what makes a Hall of Fame umpire, in your opinion? What would be?
You're asking someone who spent 10 years with Bill King.
It's okay. You
to
have
say
your
something
own,
positive about an umpire.
I'm asking you as a general question. What would you think an umpire should the qualities he should possess?
I was prohibited from even speaking to an umpire during those 10 years.
You're now on national radio. You know, you're being interviewed.
Global.
We have someone in Oslo, Norway.
And Zurich, Switzerland.
Right, listening to him. We have our crew in England as well. So feel free to be yourself here.
Well, I think the first thing is hustle.
Huh.
You know, there was a time before Sandy Alderson got involved. I'm serious about this.
Go ahead.
Remember when Sandy got involved with Major League Baseball and he was overseeing the umpires? I think one of his goals was to weed out the guys that didn't hustle. And I think that's the first thing for me is a guy that hustles wants to keep the game moving and is really into the game and gives you that sense that he loves the game. And I think obviously they're certain elements that are pretty basic, like fairness, balls and strikes. I think when you start to talk about umpires, you've got to start talking, you would start with balls and strikes.
Consistency.
And then I think with an umpire, you don't want to be the show. Nobody really comes to the game to watch the umpires, right? So you can't have a quick fuse. You have to understand situations. And especially in a tight, tense game, maybe you give a player or manager a little more leeway or latitude. So I think that if you're not the focal point out there, and you just have good judgment, I mean, all those things are important. If you're talking about an umpire going in the Hall of Fame, having the durability to last a long time, I know Joe West has been around quite some time.
The reason why we bring it up, Joe may join us today. Eddie Montague is supposed to be here today, but Joe West today, I'll just throw this out to you. On your broadcast.
I'm sorry, Marty. I was thinking about Eddie today because I wanted to get full clarification. In the Angels-Rangers game yesterday, there was a line drive that did you see this?
No.
Cole Calhoun hit a line drive to right center field. Elvis Andrews in the shift is playing over there, and he threw his glove at the ball. He threw his glove up in the air. I mean, way up in the air. And my understanding is that three bases, right?
If you hit it.
But you have to touch the ball.
Yeah.
The actual act of throwing the glove is not a violation. Right. It's only three bases if you make contact with the ball.
Right. I believe that's correct.
I never heard that. I'd never seen somebody try to attempt that.
Wait, Guy, we learned that in like a little league. I mean, you know, seriously.
See the benefits of Little League, Marty?
You know, a kid would throw the glove, and I guess that's how we learned it, and it does apply to the major leagues. We'll ask Eddie when he's here, but I think that's correct. But for your broadcast today and for anyone listening, Tommy Connolly, who's a Hall of Fame umpire, umpired at the turn of the century in the National League and went on to the American League for 31 years and many World Series and all that. He went 10 years without ever ejecting anybody.
Wow.
But he did 4,768 games. Joe West today will tie that record.
That's the all-time record?
I think Bill Clem probably has the all-time record. But
no, somebody else broke that.
Bruce
Don't look
Fremming?
At me.
Bruce Fremming, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Joe West is climbing up the list, but Tommy Connolly. And we'll have Jen look up the list of the most games umpired, major league umpires. We'll see what the list looks like. But he ties the record today, and it's a significant record.
Did you know that there was an umpire that one time filed an official complaint against Bill for things that he said on the air?
Ed Brinkman?
It might have been. I don't know who it was.
Yeah, Bill King.
I know NBA refs and Bill had their issues in addition to Major League Baseball umpires.
I interviewed Jim McKeon, and I played it on Memories of the Game. And I like to get the umpire's stories. But Bill King was notorious. Ken will tell you. We're putting it mildly. And I played the memory of the game, and Bill King, was ejected from his seat where he was sitting. And I think he came down to my area there where I did the show where we rattled the lumber.
He admonished you. It was an admonishment.
He did. Don't put umpires on
it. He said to you, don't ever do that again.
Yes, he did.
Don't ever have an umpire on here. No, Eddie's a great guy. And, you know, he over at our ballpark, he's there as often as he is here, and he's a wonderful resource.
Yeah, he's great.
You know, when you have him because we don't know every role. We wish we did, and situations come up where he actually is a really good resource.
Yeah.
Let me ask Ken, for fun. I mean, you mentioned Tim Hudson earlier, and I was in school at Auburn the same time he was, or just a little bit before him. But when the Big Three hit the scene, now all these years later, could you have imagined the path that each one of them would have taken? Barry Zito's in Nashville throwing the ball still. Mark Mulder, he's at ESPN and doing quite well and golfing up in Tahoe. And then Tim Hudson wins a World Series with the Giants. In your wildest dreams, could you have ever seen that happening?
Yes. Because, no, honestly...
good.
First of all, I hope they call up Zito, because that'd be a fun story. There's that romantic aspect of baseball.
Yeah.
Now I'm sounding like Marty, but of
Thank
a
you.
Kid.
Thank you.
He is the ultimate romantic.
He is,
yeah.
Of the kid coming up and trying to make it and break into the big leagues, but then there's that veteran that oftentimes is looking for that one final shot. And all the ace players who've been down in AAA say that Zito has had a remarkable influence on them, that he's been an amazing teammate. He's actually taken to the lifestyle. He doesn't have to go down there and pitch in AAA, obviously, but there are very few pitchers or even position players who come up to the big leagues and you say they've got it. When all three of those guys came up, they had it. You knew. You knew, I think, on the first start or the second start.
That's true.
Zito's first start, the last three batters he faced were Mo Vaughn, Tim Salmon, and Garrett Anderson, and he struck out all three of them in his major league debut.
Cool.
So, and Hudson's first game was great. So I think we knew from the very beginning, as soon as those guys joined the A's, that they were going to be something special, and they were. And, you know, there was a lot of great history there during that run of the four division series in a row.
Boy, amazing. Hall of Fame weekend is here, and you and I have kicked it around. Manny Ramirez, probably, I know you were a big advocate for him when I wasn't sure, and but for his messing around with steroids and everything else, I think that'll knock him out. But you convinced me, dead bang Hall of Famer. I think you can identify Hall of Famers. What about these guys going in? Biggio, Smoltz, Pedro, and Johnson. And you've seen Pedro a lot of his career.
Manny actually hit a home run off of Zito in the fifth game of the 0-3 division series when Pedro started that game for the Red Sox.
In the sixth inning.
Yeah, down the left field line. This is a great class.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just phenomenal. And I think one of the great things about Pedro going in for me is that I think sometimes we have an obsession with numbers. Pedro didn't come close to 300 wins.
Nope.
But yet he had an aura. I think with a Hall of Famer, that person should have an aura, maybe even a mystique, that when you watch him, that you say, he's a Hall of Famer. Well, I don't have to look at the numbers on Pedro Martinez to know that he's a Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
Now, he had 5 or 6 years that were just unbelievable, and especially when you compare them against what was going on in the league with the proliferation of offense. His ERA was so much better. Maddux was the same way. So, unbelievable class of Hall of Famers. The three pitchers and Biggio, it's just great.
On Sports Reporters this morning, I don't know if it was Howard Bryan or Lupica, someone called him the right-handed Koufax, Pedro Martinez, for that window. So, I know that's high praise. But, Biggio, what about Biggio? Now, I'll give you a stat. One of four players to get 2,500 hits, 250 homers, and 400 stolen bases. The others are Ricky Henderson, Joe Morgan, and Barry Bonds.
And as Fossey said, if you've got 300 hits, you're in the Hall of Fame.
3,000.
I don't have a lot of firsthand experience of watching Biggio because all 24 of my years in the big leagues have been in the American League. So, save for maybe an interleague game or two and the games on TV. The other guys I was a lot more familiar with, although Smoltz didn't spend a whole lot of time in the American League either. But there's no doubting that Biggio's a Hall of Famer. And I know my partner, Vince Catronio, spent quite a bit of time with him with the Astros.
Did he have that aura, Craig Biggio?
Well, I don't know. I didn't see him play that. No, I mean, I think he was more of a really, really great player. But I don't know that he didn't do much to draw attention to himself. He was just a guy that was an awfully good player who was able to grind it out every day.
On an awfully good team. And that team was very successful. They didn't get the wins in the playoffs. They were very successful. And Art Howe was the one who moved them to second base. And Art is there in Cooperstown today. He moved Bagwell to first base. So Art moved these guys around. He had Louis Gonzalez as well. And Berkman. Those were the guys that Art had when he was in Houston. So Art is in Cooperstown today. If you had, I want to ask you this. And you brought up a good point. Pat and I talk about it a lot. You're an American leaguer.
Yes.
All right. The DH is in the American League. You see your team comes here. No DH. The pitcher, as Ray said, basically stands up there and just looks at three. Can this thing ever get straightened out? Will baseball ever deal with it? And what's your opinion? It's the World Series. They go back and forth.
I don't.
How can you deal with this?
I just don't think it's going to change because I don't think the American League owners would go for the pitchers hitting, and I don't think the National League is going to change either. And any significant change like that has to be collectively bargained anyway with the Players Association. So it's unfortunate. just doesn't seem right to me that there are two. I mean, it distinguishes the two leagues, and now there's a tradition there.
But it's competition. I mean, you know, A's come in here today, and they don't have a DH.
That's right. And Bob Melvin, a lot of the American League managers, and I can speak for Bob Melvin, come into the National League parks with great trepidation.
Melvin come in.
Because they're just not used to hitting. Chris Bassett hadn't swung the bat since high school. Because if you come up with an American League club, you don't even hit in the minor leagues.
Yeah.
Like the Giants affiliates, when their pitchers are coming up in the minor leagues and they play another National League affiliate, then the pitchers do hit, so you get to practice it. So it's just one of those weird, quirky aspects of the game. And I know the A's have always felt they're afraid one of their pitchers might get hurt, something might happen.
Somebody did get hurt once.
But you can win a game with a sacrifice bunt. So it becomes very important.
All right. Someone gave us a suggestion. I know you got to go to work. When the American League team comes in here, we have a DH. And when the National League team goes to the American League park, there's no DH. Just so the fans can see a game.
Well, that's the whole idea behind interleague play, right? Yeah. I mean, you're trying to showcase the other team.
Yeah.
I'm not a big fan of interleague play to begin with, as you know. But, yeah, I mean, that does make sense.
Yeah, just to you know, break it up a little bit so the fans would have something. All right. Well, we do have the Marty Lurie bobblehead for you. And that is for you and your family.
Yes.
You can proudly.
Is there a pecan bobblehead?
Oh, good
Maybe.
Lord.
Maybe.
No.
We'll
no.
talk to Mario Alioto about this.
I'll take a pecan keg. You know?
He got a pecan piece of wood yesterday.
Yeah. It was beautiful.
From Heritage Salvage. It was gorgeous.
From Ukiah. Yeah, it was fantastic.
Heritage Salvage, it's amazing.
Beautiful.
Everything they make has a story to it. It comes
right
from
here.
Bush beer, you know, whatever, this table. Oh, we have to have Ken sign the table, by the way. All right.
Have you talked to Gallego about the Gallego wind-up toy they're giving away?
He's going to owe me one. That's yeah. clear. We've made that deal. He owes me one. All right. Good to see you.
Thanks. It's good to
good
see
to
you
see
guys.
Yeah, great
good
to see you.
You guys do a great job.
Yeah, pleasure to have you here. Let's hear it for Ken Korak.
Ken Korak.
Very good. Very good. And this is your own Marty Lurie bobblehead. All right. More coming up. We have fun.
This is good.
It's Sunday Baseball.